When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get a great offer on the stylish HR-V or the Honda Civic, which Car and Driver called fun to drive. Honda, the brand name Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com best value brand for 2023. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 3.9% APR on a 2024 Honda Civic or HR-V.
See dealer for financing details. Exclusive against Scion Type R Car and Driver, January 2023, based on 2023 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
I'm Rob Cesternino, the aptly named Rob Has a Podcast, where we're creating fun, smart conversation around reality TV games like Survivor. And this March, Survivor Game Changers is finally here. Join me weekdays for episode recaps, player interviews, and of course, your feedback. So if you're ready for a game change in your own Survivor experience, download Rob Has a Podcast at podcastone.com on the Podcast One app or subscribe on iTunes.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. And welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator. DeAndre over
Hello.
There. Hello, man. All right. We're fresh off of Amelia Island.
I wouldn't say fresh.
Not fresh. enjoyable, for sure. Kind of a crazy odyssey for us and me and travel and the work week and stuff like that. I couldn't have, you know, it was funny because when they said Bill Warner, the guy who runs it, great guy, really.
And thanks really, to Bill, by the way.
Yeah,
man, really what a good dude.
Really reminds me of Carroll Shelby.
Yeah.
In his speaking, his mannerism, and whatever.
And he's a big dude.
Yeah. When he said to me, hey, I'd like to bring you out to Amelia Island, we're in Florida, you know, and do this car show and bring some of your cars and so on and so forth and moderate a panel and this, that, and the other. When I said, I thought my first impulse was Florida, not close. Like, I think of everything in terms of how long it's going to take me to get there and how long it's going to take me to get out of there, or like how many flights do they have,
yeah,
or whatever
is it
is.
Is there a day of travel, a half a day of
travel?
Yeah,
like if we can hit it from Burbank, like it's really, my life has come down to how long, where are you? Which is when we do some gig in Sacramento in an Indian casino and there are 5,000 flights leaving Burbank and the gig is Friday night.
Yeah.
And Mike August tells Matt or whatever, and we book a flight out of Burbank at 5:30. And I just tell him, good, meet me Friday. What time's the show? It's 8 o'clock Friday night. And it's like, all right, meet me at the shop at 4:30 on Friday.
Yeah.
We'll just have Nick drop us off, and we'll be on the flight, and we'll be in Sacramento by 6:30. We'll be at the hotel by 7. I'll be on stage at 8:05.
Yeah.
And then we'll have an 8:33 flight out the next morning. That's a nothing.
Or if you can't get a morning flight and it's too late to fly into Burbank at night, you just drive back.
Yeah, or whatever.
Like, you know,
I don't
to,
care.
Try to catch an hour of sleep.
That's easy. But Florida was like, oh, that's Florida. Now, what I didn't know about Amelia Island is it's Jacksonville. And what I didn't really know about Jacksonville is no Burbank and no direct flights from LAX. So yeah. I just went like, oh, yeah, I guess we'll fly LAX and we'll fly into Florida and we'll just figure this out. But I didn't get the layover and the no direct flights and that kind of stuff. So that was like,
I can't figure out why. Everybody else we talked to flew directly, not from LA.
Right.
Any other place in the country, they flew right in.
Right. So that was us. So that was the first thing. And the second thought I had when he said, you want to come out to Florida? Now, he said this in December or something.
Yeah.
You know, coming out to Amelia Island. And I said, yeah. But my first, second, third thought was, I'm doing a live one-hour TV show on Spike, and I don't even know what the show is at this point. And I know how much work and how much how many gray hairs you'll get, how much hand-wringing, how much whatever, like the odyssey that doing one of these shows is when there's no show. When you're doing a show and they go, we're bringing back Match Game, super easy. It's like, how do you do it? Get six panelists.
Sure.
This guy hosts.
There's
complete two contestants. Yeah. They got a match. Done. It's so done. But when you go, you're going to build stuff live, it's like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
I don't know what the segments are. How do we start? What's the guest doing? Or do we sit down and interview them? Or are we standing the whole time?
All you know is how much time you have because
right.
it's live. So there's no... Like,
right.
time is the only thing you know.
Right. So I said, when are we doing this? When is Amelia Island? And he gave me the date. And I said, okay, that'll be 2 weeks into shooting my show. So it's not going to be week one clusterfuck where nobody knows anything.
Right.
And everyone's sending people emails that, oh, through the weekend in the middle of the night, we got to fix this or even shit like legal department said we can't do that or whatever it is.
Sure.
So I was like, all right, we'll have the first or second show, you know, a couple shows under our belt and then we'll have our little rhythm down. And so I can get out that weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been nice.
Yeah. But then they moved the show start to 2 weeks later, which then meant Amelia Island was the weekend before shooting the show on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which meant, you know, and that means, oh, you got to rehearse all day on Thursday, and that, or they want you Friday.
At this point, you're not counting days, you're counting hours. You know,
right.
you just got to go by where we're 70 hours, 40 hours, 30 hours away from doing a show, the
right.
actual live show, not the preparation.
Right. So Saturday night, I was in Matt's room. And we brought Nate Adams out there because we're shooting stuff and we were editing.
Editing a piece. And then somebody at the hotel dropped underneath the door, slid under the door, like the script.
Right.
And he's like, we need your comments on this as well.
Right. So there went my Florida vacation because of this. And because of having to rehearse all day on Friday.
Yeah.
Which they, on Thursday, which they wanted to do on Friday, we had to leave on a red eye at 11:30, fly to Atlanta. We ended up pulling into Amelia Island at like 8 in the morning or something.
Well, we got to the airport like 8. We got to Amelia, you know, it was about 9, a little after 9, got a car, Infinity sent us a car. But that was it. Like, we're
totally sleep deprived
and
completely disoriented the entire time. Then we had this little gem, which is I had to moderate this thing on Friday. Like, I have to work. So to moderate this panel on Friday, which is fine. But like I said, once you get onto my schedule, everything just becomes work. You can't enjoy it anymore because it's just work. And then we're going to shoot a bit all day on Saturday.
The panel was cool, but that was even like a whole bigger deal than I thought it was going to be.
So we showed up. And the guy who runs the thing, Bill's like, you got your cars out on the lawn? And we're like, no.
No.
And like, we're showing two Japanese race cars.
Yeah.
So
I thought he was joking.
4 months ago, he said, can we bring your two Japanese race cars, the BRE Roadster and the Newman GT1 Championship car, can we bring them to Amelia and display them in our Japanese race category? And I said, sure. If you pay for the shipping, if you pick them up, you can have them. And he said, okay. Then we got there and we went to the lawn and they had 12 other Japanese race cars, but not my Japanese race cars.
They had like the signs for the car. Adam Carolla's
car.
No cars.
So we just landed. Now you got to keep in mind, the sleep deprivation is through the fucking roof. Like, I'm disoriented. The first class flight was not a first class flight. And I have no idea where we are, what time it is, or what's going on. And we're just standing in the middle of a golf resort in Amelia Island. And we're saying to the guy who runs the whole thing, we didn't see our two cars on the lawn. And he looks at us and he goes, where are they? And we go, they left my shop a week ago. I don't know. Well, you better get them on the lawn. We said, I don't know where they are. Well, you better find out. I said, I don't know who to talk to. I don't know where the cars are.
That was the other crazy part is we didn't talk to anybody. Like he didn't punt this down to any of his team. Like you and I both spoke to Bill Warner, who's the founder of this group. He's got a staff. He has 12 people and 400 volunteers at this event.
Right.
Right. And we only spoke to him. So it wasn't like we could go to his right-hand man or third or fourth down the chain. Like we literally had no idea who to talk to. There was no contact, no emails, phone number, nothing.
But we said, we don't know where the cars are. And he said, well, it's the entrance responsibility to get them out on the lawn. And he walked away.
He was busy.
And we just looked at each other and went, I don't, what do we do?
I thought he was joking.
I don't know.
I was waiting for somebody else to come back and go, we got it.
I knew he wasn't joking. And I also knew that these cars were just shipped to Florida and were pretty much just going to be shipped back without anyone, without them leaving a semi truck. But I had no idea where the semi truck was or anything like that. So luckily we got TK and Tommy Kendall, and we went down the lawn, and now it's like Friday, end of the day.
Yeah.
And all the cars are out there. And then they're like, some guys bring their cars in at like 5, 6 a.m. in the morning. Most guys just leave them out and cover them up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, well, first off, I'm not getting up at 5 in the morning because I haven't slept in 2 days.
Yeah, we've
and I don't
been
even know
up since Thursday, and you're talking about Saturday morning.
And secondly, we don't know where to go at 5 in the morning. We don't know where these cars are.
Or who to talk to because that's just us taking cars at that point.
Right. So, by the way,
Tommy called somebody and he's like, hey, where's Adam's cars? He thinks you guys are bringing them out. Can you do something? And then he's like, I'm going to get a call back. And we lost Tommy. I don't know if he got the call back.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow the cars showed up.
Yeah, it is. But if you want a little microcosm of my life is, you know, in December, I'm having a conversation with a guy going, begging me to bring, could we bring my two race cars, my super valuable race cars to Florida and display them at his car event? And I go, fine. I say fine to everybody. My whole thing for everyone is if you want to pay for the shipping, you can have them. And smash cut to standing inside the hotel and him looking at us going, I don't know where they are. You find them. And he just walked away. Then a second conversation later on that weekend where who's responsible for getting the cars back to the trailer? And his answer, whoever enters the cars are responsible. So that's you. And then he walked away again. Except for we have no idea where the trailers are. It's as if somebody just parked your car in the middle of a golf course where you couldn't see anything but more golf course and trees around it and said, now go bring these back. And we have no idea what trailer or who
and
or anything.
At this point, we didn't know how they got there in the first place.
Because we didn't arrange the trailer or the travel.
Yeah. And then when TK called somebody and said, can you bring the cars out? And they made that happen. We don't know who he called or how they got there. They just showed up in the middle of the night.
Right.
So we couldn't go back to that guy and go, hey, thanks for bringing the cars out. Can you help us return them?
Right.
And then we didn't know who it was. Like,
And then we'll tell you about the auction in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Garage Boss oil drain pans. Oh, man. It's nice. Change your own oil, man. But the cleanup, pain in the butt, man. You don't need it. You need Garage Boss. Fits easy, slides under there, and it's storage and a receptacle at the same time. So it's this cool thing. And they make a lot of different sizes and configurations and everything else. But you don't have to do the thing where you put the pan under and then you dump it into the milk jugs trying to take it down to the recycling place.
Yeah.
It's one unit. Garage Boss, they do the oil drain pans. I got a full line of drain pans. Now, they got no mess solutions. They got the disposable tearaway sheets that they're in the integrated funnels. Ooh, I like that because I always have the don't use that funnel.
Yeah.
I have the don't use that funnel and don't use that microfiber. I see them going, like they push one of my cars, the other part, and they go, oh, transmission fluid. And they start going for the micro cloth. I'm like, would you use a paper towel for that? You know what the number one answer is? This one was dirty.
This one was dirty.
All right. But now it's ruined. Like,
yeah.
And we have rolls of blue paper towels.
I wash the microfibers.
Well, we can too, but it's tough with the transmission fluid.
On the funnels, it's like when you get the oil in there and you go put it on the shelf, and that's when all the dust over the next few weeks sticks. That's where I don't like to use it anymore.
Right. So use the liners and recycle the oil. And what you should do is you should go, and it goes right from the oil pan to the recycling center. Super easy. Go to Amazon.com and just search Garage Boss. That's B-O-S-S. Amazon.com, Garage Boss. And buy one and bookmark us and click through us.
So
all right.
The race cars that you brought us. So to finish on that point, so you got the call, bring the race cars, we'll display them. We're doing a Japanese theme for a portion of the show. It was great. The other thing we didn't know was your cars were being judged.
Right.
In that class.
Right.
In a class. We didn't know that. We prepped the cars and brought them out there.
Right.
You know, but we got them ready because you're going to, you know, you drive them. You know, so it's got a seat for you and it's got the Sparco steering wheel for you and it's set up for you. Had we known it was going to be judged, you know, we would have put the Paul Newman seat in there and made it more of the...
Yeah, the right rims and tires. I had some vague thoughts of that, but with whatever schedule I had...
Yeah.
Going on, I was just kind of like, you know what, just screw it.
And you know, Bill Warner was, again, he was our only contact. He was super busy. I sent an email. I was like, what should we expect? Where do we need to go? And it didn't get any response.
He told me he didn't really do email.
Well, that explains it.
All right.
Guy we'll organizes about, a huge event. It doesn't do email.
Tell you about the auction in a second. First, we'll talk to Paul, 42, from Minnesota. Paul?
Hi, Adam. Kind of wondering, we being a Southern California guy, how come we never really got into drag racing?
I never liked the equipment that much. I fell in love initially. I mean, my earliest car thoughts as a little boy living in like outside of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, is I remember having a 1/18 scale or whatever, canary yellow. Matchbox, the bigger Matchbox ones.
The
die cast. I had a Dino Ferrari. And I looked at that thing and I thought, this is a great shape for a car. This is a great shape for a car. And
You didn't think, let's tub it, take it to the drag strip?
I like the dragsters and the funny cars and all that kind of stuff. But I just sort of looked at it and went, I love this. And then later on, it kind of gave way to Mulholland racers and slammed 510s and Z cars and Mini Coopers and stuff.
Your street racing as a kid was more of like Mulholland, the windy road street racing. It wasn't like drag racing, street racing.
The street racing that took place, not that I owned a car. So the street race that I could watch or hear tale of
or go
to high school with other guys who did it was Mulholland.
Yeah.
Now there was another go down to Van Nuys and go cruise on Wednesday night and then go to some back street or whatever they went.
Yeah.
I didn't go cruising. I didn't know anyone who had a car. I didn't have a car and didn't know anybody who had a car. Like Chris and Ray and my friends didn't own a car. That stuff was like rich guy.
Does Ray own one now?
That's good. Well, he has like half a truck out there.
I've seen it
out there. But the point is like drag racing and road racing and anything with the word racing, this would have required either A, money, or B, somebody's dad giving a fuck.
Right.
And we were absent either one of those things. Max and Pat, could you imagine my dad going, we're going down to Pomona to watch the Winter Nationals?
All drag, no racing.
That's right. All drag, no race.
Yeah.
That was my entire family.
But dad didn't even have like a fairly decent car that at 16, 17-year-old Adam Carolla would like jack the keys to in the middle of the night and do, you know.
No, my family is... I had this conversation.
Clearly, race.
I had this conversation with the guy who was fucking cutting my hair yesterday. As you hear this, we're taping it earlier before I did my live show. He's just this guy out of New York, and he's like New Yorker. There's two types of hair guys. There's gay guy, and then there's butch New York dude. Yeah, I cut hair.
Yeah, you barber. Know?
Yeah,
not
those are the guys who wear the leather wrist bracelets for some reason. Like I gotta let people know I'm straight. You know. And this guy's like, he's cutting the hair, and he's like, so, man, big night. Yeah, it's a live comedy. So, what do your parents think about the comedy? The comedy. They into the comedy? They push you toward the comedy? They're steering you toward comedy? I'm like, no, nothing, zero. Did
anybody
nothing,
else in the world,
ever,
that's a legit
zero.
Question. That's right, a safe right. question okay. for a guy hosting a comedy
so,
show.
You do the carpentry, though. You know all the carpentry stuff. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So what, your dad, that's your dad's thing? Or was he a contractor or something? No. But would you guys go do projects or something like that? So it got in the blood, right? I mean, how'd you get into the blood? You know, no, nothing. That, but your dad had tools and stuff at the garage and everything. No, zero, fucking zero, less than zero. And everyone's like,
"What do you like building, right?"
And I'm like, no, nothing. Well, what's he think of this? Nothing. There's nothing. There's zero. My mom is the least funniest human being on the fucking planet, and nobody knows less in building than my dad. That is it. End of. Find me someone who knows less about building than my dad, and I will suck your dick and cry. Find someone who has a lesser sense of humor than my mom. I mean, I think it's between her and Janet Reno. But even Janet Reno, with a glass of wine in her at a fucking party, lets loose a little bit. There's nobody more serious and has less comic ability than my mother, and nobody has less building or car. I don't know what's lower, cars or building. If I was to put a gun to your head, Chris, my dad, building or cars?
I could choose. Just pull the trigger, man.
This is a real bet. Go ahead and tweet in or hit our Facebook page. Yeah. If you think you know anybody that does less experience.
Nobody.
We challenge all you listeners.
There's nobody that's less than this. Nobody. Nobody. Okay. Now, with that explanation, there is no drag. There's no dragsters. There's no race cars. There's no anything.
Paul's
there's
still on the phone.
My dad didn't have a fucking 4-in-1 screwdriver. My dad didn't have a flathead screwdriver.
Oh. Did he have one of those pens that does multiple colors? I like those.
I don't. I'm a little rich for his blood. Go ahead, Paul.
Adam, don't you think that what you did, as we're talking today, what you did last night is you prepared, and then you got up there, you hit the tree, and then you executed it, and you got it done right at the line.
Ooh,
I mean,
like
that's kind of your thing, you know, as far as preparing and going out there, doing a good job, focusing, hitting the light, going down the track, hitting all your shift points, and then, finishing and winning.
They call me the Connie Coletta of comedy.
You're more like,
my mom? My mom and my dad call me the Connie Coletta
of comedy.
These two got to look up Connie Coletta now, and then they'll get a laugh because I used alliteration. Connie Coletta comedy, you see?
The Bounty Hunter.
Who? The Bounty Hunter?
Yeah, that was Connie Coletta.
Okay, there
he's
you
still
go.
Wrong.
Thanks,
still
Paul.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. But we'll get him next time. And I've been to the drags before. All right.
Was Paul 42 or 82?
I think he's 42, but I guess all that nitromethane doesn't do you right.
I fired up one of those vintage racers, and man, the race cars, those things make you cry.
Vintage dragster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dragster.
All right, Gary.
You're sitting in the middle of it, the engine in front.
Oh, scary.
No mask?
They have the Crackle Fest now, right?
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
All right. Gary, hang on a second. So we'll tell you about the auctions. First, I'll tell you about rich uncles. A lot of uncertainty out there in the world. You don't want all your retirement accounts all locked up, savings, sitting in the stock market. You need to diversify. Do it and do what I did. Look into richuncles.com. They're a REIT. They're a real estate investment trust. They own commercial property, collect rent from creditworthy tenants, and pay you a monthly cash dividend currently at 7%. And again, T-bills, what are T-bills doing? Under 0.5%?
It's not even worth mentioning.
It's not even worth it. Yeah. Recently featured in the Wall Street Journal. See that article? Go there. Check it out. Go to richuncles.com and read what the Wall Street Journal had to say about Rich Uncles, and then you decide. Like any investment, it has risks. It's not guaranteed, but Rich Uncles REIT is a Reg A Tier 2 offering. That's richuncles.com. Or give him a call. Yeah, go to richuncles.com and read the Wall Street Journal ad, but give him a call, 855-RICH-UNCLES, and start getting some return, man. And let them know you heard it here on CarCast. These are good sponsors. They want to know where they're hearing the good news.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response, will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
Okay, let's talk to Gary. Gary. Gary.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
What's going on?
Gary from Seattle.
Ace Man. That's right. I am from Seattle. Ace Man, love to talk to you, man. I'm a huge fan. Matt, you're there too, right?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
All right. Hey, Adam, I loved you on Build Stuff Live last night. It was awesome. Very funny stuff.
Thank you.
Though I felt like I needed some Ritalin by the end of it, man. You're bouncing all over the place.
Yeah.
It was fun stuff.
Hey, hold on one second. Max Spada. What do I tell you, for people who don't know comedy, what is their number one note?
Just keep it rolling.
Hurry up.
Yeah.
Make it shorter, make it faster.
Yeah.
More elements.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only note, because they can't give comedy notes because they don't know comedy. So it's like
There's
somebody who can't read looking at your manuscript and go, it's 300 pages, right? And they go, make it shorter. That's all they can do. So all notes you ever get in comedy, because nobody is good at comedy or they don't know comedy, but they don't want you to know that they don't know comedy. So the answer is faster, more elements and faster. Then when you do the show, they go, it seemed like it was moving too fast. And the reason it seemed like it was moving too fast is because their only note is more elements and faster. Am I ever wrong on any of these discussions I have with you, Max Patton?
You have yet to be wrong.
Right. And I understand how everything works, but yeah. I have to argue with everyone all along the way.
It's part of it now.
You know, it's interesting on that point, though, is I saw that firsthand again at Amelia when you guys were editing the video on a Saturday night for the show on Tuesday you were doing. All of your comments were, it needs an extra beat. Give it an extra beat. Give it a little more tail.
Or don't cut the setup off.
Yeah.
It's a joke. You got to have the setup.
And once it has that extra breath in it, it's funnier. It's funnier. And it allows you to kick in, allows you to laugh at it instead of just moving on to the next thing. Like all of your comics, like, it needs a little more tail. Give it an extra beat. It's funny. Trust me. It's good.
What do I know? I tell people all the fucking time, this is why I like being a carpenter, because when I'm a carpenter, nobody says shit. Because I tell you what the reveal is, and I tell you what the layout is, and I tell you what the top plate is, or the treated bottom plate, and no one says shit. When it comes to comedy, it's all just everyone's opinion. Now, the reality is, the chasm between me and whoever I'm talking to about carpentry is even greater when I'm talking about comedy, except for they think they're right with me. That's the problem. So I go... well, it needs to breathe. It needs the setup. It needs some tail. And they go, I think it needs to be faster and shorter and not have tail. So we're tied.
on the car show.
Person who's never made a person laugh. Person. Human being who's never made another person smile. Gets the exact same vote as the guy who walks out every night with no material and does 90 minutes in a theater. Same vote. Same thing. It is the exact equivalent of my mom, who's never paid taxes in her fucking life, gets the exact same vote that Richard Branson gets. Oh, I'll find someone Elon Musk gets, who's paid $1 billion last quarter. My mother gets the exact same vote. And if it's against his is canceled. She's never paid a penny. I am not a fan of that system. Because it does not reward the people who are taking Groundlings classes when Sweet Cheeks over here was in the third grade. You see?
Yeah.
It doesn't reward me for taking Groundlings classes while you were in the fourth or fifth grade. It doesn't reward me who's doing open mics trying to hone a skill and you who have never made a human being smile. You understand?
I sort of feel bad for that other person pretty badly.
You wouldn't if you had to deal with them.
Yeah.
You would not if you had to deal with them. you would have disdain for them. And that's why when I said to everybody, I am going to cut this piece together 2 months ago, they said, we'll handle it in-house. And yeah. I said, I wish you could handle it in-house, but you can't handle it in-house. And then they said, we have funny editors we work with.
Okay,
and I said, there's no fucking
the
such thing as a funny editor. I've worked with all of them. None of them are funny. Well, we'll put our editor with our field producer, and they'll whack it up. And I said, okay, but it won't be good. So we can avoid this entire mess. Give us the footage, give us the hard drives, and me and Nate will go do it in my shop. And they said, we have our own post facility over here. And I said, okay. And then they handed us a super unfunny 2 minute and 35 second version of that bit. And then I said, okay, well, Nate, now on Saturday, you and I will have to be in Amelia Island cutting this thing together.
Midnight, 36 hours before, 48 hours before the
show. I said a million times, Max Pata, I don't mind the part where me and Nate do it ourselves. I mind the part where you don't listen for the first 2 months of the conversation we have.
And someone on the other side thinks you're a dick in the whole process because you're the one who said, send it to me, and then you sent it, and then you didn't like it, and you got to do it again. And you were right, but now they're like, oh, Adam is high maintenance.
It can go no other way. I will explain to you how it's going to go 2 months in advance, and then we can do it, or we can be at Amelia Island Saturday night in our hotel room working on it. Max Pat, it's weird, right?
That's super weird.
Think it's weird?
Yeah.
Because you know how I am? Hey, guy who's an expert at engine rebuilding, go ahead, do it. Good, you do it. That's fine, because you're good at what you do. As long, am I going to get a good engine or rear end out of this? Yeah, guy's an expert. Good, go do it. I'm fucking going home and having a beer. Have fun.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I would like to not do this myself. I would love to not do it myself, but that's an impossibility. And I'm aware of that. And I've come, and I have made my peace with there's no such thing of go shoot for 2 hours in a hardware store and then go give it to your funny editors and field producers and come up with anything that's halfway decent. I tried it at the Man Show a million times. I did it with Dancing with the Stars. I've done it every single time. It's an impossibility. Now that we're aware of that, let's move forward. No, no. You have to relive it every single time. That's the beauty of it.
Gary, right. On the phone, this whole
round
is your fault.
All right, yeah.
This is all on you, buddy.
Thanks for validating how I felt about that with your comedic genius right there.
Thank you.
Anyway, my question is, you seem to give a bunch of crap to guys who build up their Jeeps for off-roading. You've said things like they never get use out of that equipment while they're sitting in traffic with the rest of the cars. So my question is, how is this any different than your Jag that you can drive 170 miles per hour, your race cars that you build up for special purpose? I might actually say that building up a Jeep at least lets people drive that Jeep on road and then be able to go use it off-road for special purpose needs. So, like, why do you give a shit?
All right, couple things. First off, I don't think the race car analogy is an apt one because
you can't drive it down the 405
well,
and then go to the racetrack.
They're built to go race, and we try to get out and race them. So that's not an apt analogy, but I'll go with you with the Jag or the, you know, that goes 170 miles an hour. I don't like sitting in traffic any more than the next guy, but we do try to get it up, stretch its legs, driving from Sacramento or going up north or whatever it is. And, you know, it's an overall product. It's the interior, it's the luxury, it's the ride, it's the whatever. But I agree, you know, you want a Corvette driving in LA traffic. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I get
right. yeah.
I get it's a waste of time. I don't have a beef, per se, with the guys who put the suspension lift and this. Sorry, I'm trying to fix this mic. They do a body lift and a suspension lift and a blah, blah, blah. And then they take it out on the weekends and do some rock climbing or something like that. That's good.
Good times.
Yeah, that's good for me. That's good for me. I personally, if I had to do, I hate the off-road tires on road and the whining and all that kind of stuff. I'd personally get the Jeep, modify the Jeep, work on the Jeep, and then just get like a Prius and just go to work and back in the Prius.
So we are simpatico.
That would be me. I have no beef about that. Jeep product, I cannot stand. Now, I don't mind the old school stuff.
Come on, let's focus on just the Wrangler. How about just the Wrangler? Can you get on board with that?
To me, the Wrangler is purpose built. Like, it is the best little off-road vehicle you do. But for every guy in LA running around and the Jeep never leaves Beverly Hills, I mean, I don't really see the point. It's loud, and you know, ones with the soft top, and like Adam said, if you start putting the mud tires on it, it's loud, but you never go in the mud. Like, if you can only afford the one vehicle and your thing is going in the dirt on the weekends, then great. I'm for you. I'm with you. You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm a pretty big enthusiast. I even have my own little podcast called the Northwest Jeepcast, and I'm just a little fledgling podcaster.
Anyone who's listening, go check it out. Give it another plug.
It's called the Northwest Jeepcast. Because I'm up here in Seattle, we kind of focus on the trails that are out here nearby, but we do venture into Northern California, Utah area, go over to Moab, and we hit the biggest trails that we can, and we have a ton of fun. My co-host is also named Gary, so it's kind of funny that we're the Gary and Gary Show, and thanks for giving me a moment to talk about this, Adam.
Sure, Gary, you sound like a cool dude, and I like anybody who's using or doing or anything. If you're out doing it and using it, so be it. I don't care if it's a Jeep or roller skates or a treadmill.
Gary's doing it right. He's got the Jeep, he's doing it right.
It's a kind of thing where it's like, if you got a treadmill and it's in your bedroom and you're just hanging clothes on it and it's been there for 2 years, get it out.
Yeah.
And if you're gonna argue with me, I don't have a lot of respect for you. But if you say you run on it 5 days a week, good for you. That's okay. Good. It's not really whether I approve or disapprove. It's like, do you get out and do it? These guys who, you know, get the dualies, put the lift kit on it, put the fun and mud tires on it, and you can tell just by the looks of the thing, it's never been off road. They're just pumping up and down the highways, wearing out the asphalt. You're getting six miles a gallon.
Is your buddy Lightning from K-Rock. He's got this lifted super monster dually. That truck is badass, but it just goes to car washes and car shows.
I sort of look at it as the guys with the tech.
I like Lightning a lot. He's cool, but
I like Lightning too, but I don't get that. I just don't.
I mean, for him, I guess it's a project vehicle and it's promotional vehicle and sponsors.
Look,
but
the next thing is...
Yeah, but...
There's a guy... Look, there's the tattoo artist... And then there's the idiot who's getting sleeved. The idiot who's getting sleeved, just an idiot getting sleeved. The tattoo artist gets paid. So, like, if that's part of your business, I don't have a beef with you. If you're just the idiot getting sleeved, then you're just the idiot getting sleeved.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about Geico, and then we'll get into this auction.
Oh, the auctions.
Everyone's got the to-do list. You got to drop off the dry cleaning. You got to pick up some milk, whatever you do. How about save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? Don't have to drop anything off or pick anything up. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. That is geico.com. Take a couple minutes. Get a little extra walking around money. And it's easy. Go to geico.com. Spend a couple minutes. Save some buku bucks. Geico.com. So we had the two cars that were going to auction.
Yeah, the Islero and the 350 GT.
I would say when you go into these auctions, you have a kind of a expectation level which can go from A to B to C to D to F. And it's really just an expectation or a hopefulness, but you don't really, you know, look, car could sell for $300, it could sell for $250, it could sell for $2. Car could sell for $600, it could sell for $750, it could sell for anything in between. Yeah. And you sort of have this sort of mindset going in, which is, boy, I hope it's not, you know, a C minus or a D, meaning, you know, both cars get low to the bottom of the reserve. I hope it's an A, but I'll take a B or B minus or whatever. That mean, you know, the one car's, you know, I don't know, $650 to $750. Obviously, an A is $725, $750 or something like that. You know, to me, B is like $675 to $700, something there.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking D, that's got to be like $600 or 6, 650 or something like that. That's kind of your expectation right. level. And you do that with all your, you know, whatever. And we had two cars. I would say we walked away to D minus.
Probably a D minus.
Probably a D minus.
When you throw in the return fees for hauling the car back. D minus.
Yeah. The black car did not sell.
Did not sell.
The blue car, the Islero.
In some ways worse.
In some ways worse because I found out that there was a silver Islero that was going.
At another auction the day before.
The day before. I think it was Thursday, actually, for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. I don't remember.
Our days are all screwed up. But it was going on Thursday. It was a silver Islero.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at pictures of it, and that car in silver doesn't look great. It was like a silver with a kind of beigey interior or something, a brown interior, and it didn't present that well. And I could just tell from going to enough auction websites when it says like good driver or whatever, like yeah. kind of code for a little bit rundown.
Yeah.
And you'll see a little cut. Well, look, when the car's been freshly restored, it'll say fresh, you know, rotisserie restoration
That's
done
right.
by marquee
so many miles
expert.
So
blah,
many
blah.
Hours on it since yeah, then. Yeah, it's going to be great.
They'll provide some pictures of the car bare metal, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
So you can tell looking pictures of the engines that the valve covers are wrong or whatever it is. And I remember just going, well, that's a fairly weak example of the car we just had detailed and looks amazing and that's sort of medium dark blue.
Yeah.
So I went, okay, good. We got a good apples to apples. It's not an S. It's just an Islero.
The catalog estimates for both cars were the same. So we thought, you know what? This is a slam dunk. If the silver one sells.
This is a good jumping off
This is a really
point.
Good indication of what you can expect from your car.
Right. That car sold for $225. And you say, ooh, that's a little low. And you go, but let's look at it. The low bid was $250, or the low catalog was $250. When you add the 10% onto the $225, you get right
so
to $250.
The hammer price is $225.
Right, but with the fee, it's $250. All right, and that was a worse example in a boring color of my car. So, you know, if that car went for $225, Mike could go for $250, $265, $270. It's a
right,
much nicer,
right where we want it, right
nicer
where we
example,
expected, yeah.
right. That car went on Thursday, and our car's going Saturday. Our car's going prime time. This car went Thursday.
Yeah.
Same weekend, same island. And at lesser version. That car went for $225. Ours went for $220. And I was like, why? And the guy who bought it, I said, I know he went and looked at that other car.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy, perfectly nice guy from Austin, I said, you must have you're spending six figures on an Islero. You must have been aware of the other car, and you must have checked it out. And he's like, "Yeah, I looked at it." I'm like, "What'd you think? Didn't like it?
Didn't like it?"
I'm like, "Ah, I knew it. I knew he literally went and looked at it, an Islero buyer, and just went, "This is weak," and then paid $5,000 less for my much nicer car.
Much nicer car. The guy was so that happy.
That went
the
on Saturday
so
at the big auction in the big hotel in the middle of the island with all the eyeballs
Twice
on
as
it.
Many people, three times as much press. The guy was so happy.
Well, that's everyone's dreams. Go look at the crappy version and they'll get the nice version cheaper.
Even
just do that math
like,
with
that was
prostitutes.
A good buy.
Yes. So I was like, all right. And the black car didn't sell and now we have to pay to ship the black car back. It's awesome. Okay. See? First world problems, people. All right, everybody, check out No Safe Spaces with me and Dennis Prager, Cal State Northridge. Available now on iTunes and Amazon, amcroll.com. Just buy it. It's like $4.99, and it's a good 100-minute lecture. So check that out. Doing the Trans Am West Coast Championship Series. That's next weekend or this weekend or next weekend.
Next weekend. Coming up quick.
Check that out. That'll be fun. You can check out Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live Tuesday. 10 o'clock on the Spike, Corolla Drinks. Say
That's
hi to Lynette.
Show.
Got the Mangria now. 24-hour war. Let's not miss that. Go to chassis, chassy.com. Shift and Steer. Matt's podcast, Corolla Digital, podcast one. So, till next time. Adam Carolla. For Matt DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCastShow. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.